praised. Oh, Father, Lord, we just, as your hands are lifted up, we need to pray for a few people here. Father, we lift up Charlotte Stelly to you, Lord God. We lift up Miss Bev, Lord God, Hargrave to you. And Father, we pray for a mighty move of the Spirit of the living God upon these people, Lord. Lord, you know the needs in their lives, the healing that they need physically in Jesus' name. Father, we come against the devil, Lord God. We come against his tactics, Lord God. We come against the demonic powers in Jesus' name. And we break its hold upon these people's lives in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, we go not with our power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Because, Father, you said it is finished. And, Lord God, we believe your word, Lord God. When you said it is finished, it is finished. The powers of darkness have been broken. Every enemy has been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for a mighty move of your Spirit, Lord God, upon these people's lives. We give you praise and honor and thanks, Lord God, for liberty and freedom in the Holy Ghost, Lord God. We give you praise and honor and thanks, Lord God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I tell you, our God is an awesome God, huh? My God, my God. Praise you, Lord. You may be seated, may be seated. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise unto our God. We do want to welcome everyone here. If you're visiting with us, we pray that something we say or do will just encourage your walk with the Lord. But I do want to welcome all home folks, too. And I'll tell you, Jelaine and I, we love you guys. We thank God for you and we appreciate you. And you're such a blessing to us as your pastors. You're a blessing to us. But we do want to welcome you and we thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. Choosing to worship with us this morning. We just want to make mention to you. Don't forget next Sunday. Is it next Sunday, babe? Yeah. Next Sunday is a very important day. Anybody know what that is? What is it? Father's Day. Okay. Make sure nobody forgets. It's Father's Day. Father's Day next Sunday. No. It's just as Mother's Day is a very important day, Father's Day is a very important day, I'll tell you. And so we do have a gift for everyone, all fathers, and not even just fathers. What's the age? 15 on up. Men, we have a gift for you for next Sunday. But invite your fathers, if they're still alive. Invite men to come and be a part of our service where we can honor them and thank God for men that God has given unto us. Also, a matter of note, it says in your bulletin, it says tithe and offering last Sunday was $1,320. And we do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. In Malachi chapter 3, I want to just read verse 11. And I know you've heard this many, many, many times. But it's God says to remind ourselves of the word of God. It says this in verse 11. It says, and it talks about tithing and stuff. It says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And he was talking about, in verse 10, about the tithe and the offering. And it says this, and I love it, and I thought, Lord, thank you. It says, and I, not me, him, he says, I will rebuke the devourer. It's like, wow. So, you know, that's what God does. He rebukes the devourer from your finances. Wow. He rebukes the devourer from our finances. So you see, all God says is just be faithful. Just be faithful. It astounds me when I look and see what people have given. It's like, my God, thank you, Lord. But you see, when we obey, God blesses and he rebukes the devourer from coming and stealing from God, his children. So I want to encourage you. Remember, you're giving to him, not to me and not to this church. I know you have to write it to the whatever. But you're giving always to him. He is the one. It says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. For your sake. Rebuking him. That means, and it has here, and I like it, says, to rebuke him means to turn back or to keep down. It says that he will rebuke the devourer. He will keep him down where he's supposed to be. Where is the devourer supposed to be? Look, everybody look at your feet. You can look at your nice shoes. And remember, the devourer is underneath it. That's where God says he will be. For all our finances and all the things that he's given unto us. As we are obedient unto him in the tithe and offerings. But I do want to thank you. Thank you again. I tell you, I appreciate you guys. And thank you for giving like you do. In seeing all the things that we have and what God has done and how he has blessed us, assuredly, definitely. And we do want to thank him for that. Amen. Also, matter of note, birthdays and anniversaries. Oh, okay. Oh, no, anniversary. Lord, my God. Miss Gail, that's probably why you're not feeling too well this morning. No, I'm. I love Leonard. This girl said, "I love you." That's the reason. That's what we all knew it. No, how many years? 9?
8?
Yeah.
Nine.
18 years. It feels like 19. Okay, no. Lord, 18 years, praise God. You know, we thank God for marriages and how God has blessed. And when you do things the way God says, he blesses his. And congratulations, Miss Gail, on 18 years. Miss Leonard. Lucky. Oh, Lord. But we congratulations. And I know he's not here today. It's. Oh, Sean. Oh, Wyatt's birthday. And how old he was going to be? He is going to be 5. So it's Wyatt's birthday. Oh, Sean. Amen. But congratulations on that. Well, children's workers and the kids, why don't you stand and let us pray over them. Father, Lord, we just thank you. Lord God, for the kids and the workers. And Father, we pray for a mighty move of your Spirit, Lord God. Let the Word of God go forth with power and authority that it has, Lord God, and to penetrate the hearts of your children, Lord God. Be with the workers and help them this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. All righty. You have to be very careful with these things. Lord, have mercy. I wish we didn't have to use this stuff, but, you know, that's how it goes. Whatever. Thank God we have it. Thank God we have it. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him, before the Father. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What is your response when a crisis comes your way? You know, in a crisis could be anything, you know. But what is your response when a crisis comes your way? Do you turn to your spouse or do you turn to a trusted friend, which is basically not wrong? Or do you try to work out a solution on your own? While these are really natural responses to the challenges of life, God desires that we turn to Him first. And look, it's good to have great friends and spouses and all that to help us. But you know what? When crisis comes our way of any kind, because things come our way daily, it seems like, or weekly or whatever. When things come our way, who do we turn to first? And I know sometimes you might say, well, Pastor, I just need somebody physically. And I understand that, to talk to or to pray with. And that's understandable, and we need that. But ultimately, in everything, that we are to turn to God first. Not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth, you know. But to turn to Him first and say, Lord, I know You see this. I know You see what's going on. And Father, I turn to You. And Lord God, how do You want me to handle this situation? How do You want me to go forth in victory and power? How do You want me to handle it, Lord? Because you see, we have to always understand this, that God's ways are not necessarily, and I'll put my name, Joe's ways. You can put your name. That's okay. God's ways are not necessarily always my ways. Now, that doesn't mean that God goes directly opposite of everything, but most of the time, or some of the time, God's ways are not always our ways in whatever situations come about. Not all. Most of the time, it's not. But we always have to remember this, that all things, because we are children of the living God, because we have given Him our heart, because we've given Him our life, that everything that comes about in our lives, no matter good or bad, that our God, Jehovah God, is in charge. And that changes everything in this thing here called the mind, which changes the heart. But we have to always remember that our God is always in control. And sometimes I know old Slewfoot is out there, and he'll try to even make the children of God think that he is in control, that he's throwing the punches, that he's doing what he wants to do. But ultimately, we know from the scriptures in Job that your God, Jehovah God, my God, Jehovah God, is in control, and not him, and not even me. So we need to always turn to him and let him lead us and guide us in the ways that he would want us to be led by the Spirit of God. God desires for us to turn to Him first. When we seek the Lord in prayer, He supplies the supernatural ability to face any situation. I know probably every one of us has been in a situation where we thought that crisis would kill us, basically. If it wasn't physical, it'd be close. And if it wasn't spiritual, we knew we were down. But we have to remember, as we go to God in praying and seeking Him about it, that God ultimately is in control, and He will change things in our hearts and in our lives, and He will build us up to become what He desires and wants us to be. You know, I heard a quote. This, it says, "We stand tallest and strongest on our knees." What a quote. I'm not sure exactly. I didn't look it up who said it. But it does make sense, because it's truth, according to the Word of God. Let me say it again. We stand tallest and strongest on our knees. We stand tallest and strongest on our knees. The world says that's not truth. The world says pick yourself up and build yourself up and do what you need to do, and step on whoever you need to step on to get what you want. Huh? But that's not the avenue of God. God never says throw somebody in front of you and step on them to lift yourself up. God says lay down your life for them. Oh. And there's a few people we don't want to lay down our lives for, huh? We'd like to lay them down. Lay them out. That's not right. A few of them. But you see, God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not. We stand tallest and strongest on our knees. In Joshua chapter 6, and I know I read earlier before we started church, I guess you can say. And we read about the city of Jericho. And we read about the last part of it, where victory came into the house. But you see, there's a lot more to it than just the victory. And you see, God wants us to have victory in every aspect of our lives, but yet we got to go through the other 6 days. The other 6 days before the last day to have the victory, to have the victory in our lives. Look at Joshua chapter 6. Look at verse 2. Now, this was spoken to Joshua even before they started, and God told them exactly what to do, how to win Jericho. Now, let me back up a little bit. Jericho was a city. Remember this. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. They crossed over the Red Sea. And He said, I'm going to bring you into the Promised Land and all that stuff. Finally, when they were going into the Promised Land after the generation had died, they were going into the Promised Land, and God knew that this city, the Jericho, which had walls that were built around about it, that was fortified, that no one could penetrate, no one except God, that He would bring victory to them. This city was in the Promised Land that God said was for Israel. And don't you think God knew that city was there when He said, Israel, or Israelites, this is your Promised Land? He knew it was there. He knew it was fortified. The walls were, they said that two chariots could ride on top of the walls. It was so wide. Talk about fortified. No one could get through it. And they did that because of the enemies on the outside that would come and try to destroy the city. And I know each and every one of us has things in our hearts and in our lives that God is trying to break down. Walls that have been built up. Things that we treasure, that we know that God says get rid of. And God's trying to break those things down and get rid of those things so we can become what God wants us to be. But look at this. In Joshua chapter 6 verse 2. Listen to this. This is amazing. It says this. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. This was spoken to Joshua in the previous verses, previous chapters. Even before he was, before God had called Joshua to go and take that land and go and take that city. That's the kind of God we serve that will give us victory in every aspect of our lives if we allow Him to, if we want Him to. He spoke to Joshua, hey, let me tell you, how you think Joshua felt knowing the city was there? Because they had sent spies into the land earlier, years, well, a generation ago. And they went and they said, we are as grasshoppers, and they are as giants. Because they were looking towards through these eyes instead of the eyes of our God. And God had to kill a generation to bring faith back into Israel so that they could take the land that God had wanted them to have. But before they even started on the avenue of getting this city, God had already spoken to the leader and said, look, I've given it to you. I've given it to you. I've given into your hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. That means everyone in that city was now destroyed. Everyone in that city was now defeated by the Israelites. Everyone was defeated. Everyone was defeated. My God. Hey, because you see, he knew, God knew Jericho needed this. God knew that Joshua needed encouragement. And God gave him the encouragement and said, go and get it. Go and get it. Look, I know God has spoken many things to you on a personal basis. And God will speak by the Spirit of the living God unto you to encourage you, to help you. Because He knows what's going to happen in 2 months from now. He knows what's going to happen in a year from now. He knows what's going to happen in 2 years from now. So the Holy Spirit is in control. You see? So the Holy Spirit comes to the children of God that have been seeking Him and asking Him for help. And He speaks things to them and tells them things and tells them they're going to have victory and that I'm going to help them. The Spirit of God is going to help them through whatever situation or whatever crisis or whatever thing the devil throws at them or whatever thing we put upon ourselves also. That God is still in control and that God has given them the victory. That's amazing to me that God would do that. How great of a God that we serve. Look, we don't serve a little peon God that can't do anything. We serve a God that can do everything. 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 Three times in the New Testament, it says that Jesus raised somebody from the grave or from the dead. That's three recorded times. Do you think it happened more than that? I do. Because it says in one of the synoptic gospels that it says that in the end that, or I think it's in there, well, somewhere in the gospel, it says that all the things of Jesus could not be recorded because the books cannot contain it. Three times he raised somebody from the grave. My God, brought life back into their bodies. That's the kind of God you serve. How many times we may not have been dead physically, but we were almost dead spiritually. Come on, let's face some things here. We were almost dead spiritually, huh? I mean, we were scraping the bottom of the barrel, and all of a sudden, as we kept seeking Him, the Spirit of God came upon our hearts and came upon our lives and gave us a new depth into Him, gave us new life into Him, gave us new spirit in Him, breathed the breath of the Spirit of life into our bodies. And thank God we were ready to roll again. We were ready to do the work that God had called us to do. Ready to get the job done, Lord. See, that's the Spirit of the living God moving upon a people. Moving upon a people, helping us, encouraging us. Because you see, He knows. He knows how it is for us to live in this old sinful body that is deteriorating. You know, scientifically, I was listening to somebody, they said, you know, scientifically, they don't know really why the human being, a human being grows old. Now we know because of sin and how that came in. But the way the human body is made, that we should live forever on the physical body, that we should live forever. And we know it's because of disobedience that the sin nature came in and destroyed and brought death spiritually and physically to our bodies. You know, we know that. But scientifically, they can't show that. Or they don't believe it. Whatever. But God had made us to live forever in Him. My God. But it says that God had given a mandate to Joshua and the people to go and take this city. This was the typical ways to attack a city in ancient times, including breaking through the gates, going over the walls, or sneaking in through other weak areas. Sieges were another possibility. An army could also draw the enemy away from the fortified city and then attack them. They were trying to get in. But God gave instructions. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? God brings them into this promised land and man, they're going forth. Yes, man, thank you, Lord. You killed all these other ones out and we're going forth. And they get up to this city that walls are so thick and so high that they look at it and they're going, and all their faith goes out. They're saying, there's no way we can take this city. There's no way we can conquer this city. But you see, God had a plan. God had a plan. God knew that city was there. God knows what's in your heart and what's in my heart. He knows the secret areas of our lives that have been hidden away from anyone. You see? And so He'll get us to come to that place and say, okay, now start seeking me and let me give you victory in those areas of your life. Because you see, that's what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God, when we accepted Him, came and abides in us. That's God living in you and I. The Holy Spirit is God. So when you said, Father, forgive me of all my sins, Lord, I accept you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I accept you into my life and I will live for you forever. The Holy Spirit came in, which was in Adam and Eve before they sinned, and that's what left, came in and lives in us. And it's the Holy Spirit's job with our cooperation to clean things up on the inside of us, to cleanse our hearts and our minds, to get things right with Him so we can get the job done that He needs done upon the earth. So God lives in you. That astounds me. It really does. I believe it, I feel it, I know it, and it's truth, but it still astounds me that a God that created everything in the earth and created all the world that we know, and probably worlds wherever, no telling what, lives in me. And lives in you. Maybe that's why we can kind of believe the word when it says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved Joe. For God so loved and put your name. That He actually lives on the inside of us. And abides in there. He's a living God in a living being doing a living work by the Holy Spirit. A living God living in a living being, which is you and I, doing a living work and cleaning us up. Praise God. Praise God. God, Joshua did the right thing. A crisis came up. But God knew. God knew. He had already told him in verse 2, I've given it all to you. And when they got to that city, they said, oh my God, what a crisis. I know I've been there saying, Lord, oh my God. I remember in that other building across the street where the kids are, we're trying to come into this building and do some work and whatever. And I remember coming and talk to Miss Jane about this building and all that. And she told me, she said, well, you can have this building, but you can't have the other one now. I said, well, Miss Jane, that's not right. You know, kind of being nice, you know, but I said, well, we want both. Well, no. And I remember leaving and saying, Lord, what are we going to do? Lord, what are we going to do? Father, this is your church. I don't know what to do. And I remember going across the street by myself, got in the church, knelt down and said, Father, I give it to you. Because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I remember going home that night, telling Jelaine about what's going on and whatever, and saying, Father, just, I don't know what to do. See, there's certain things that you just can't do anything about. And honestly, sometimes that's the best thing. Huh? Because, boy, if we could do something, we'd do it and mess everything up. Worse than what it was before. I mean, worse than what it... So sometimes it's actually good when we know we can't do anything about it, but pray. Got a phone call that night, and I know you've heard the story. Got a phone call that night. Miss Jane said, well, you know, because what I did was after I prayed and stuff, I went and talked to her daughter. And whatever. She went and talked to her mom. But, you know, I just knew that was the right thing to do. Nothing. And that night she called. She said, Joe, I decided, and I knew, Lord, okay, but I didn't know. You know, I didn't know, but I decided to, yeah, both buildings you can have. Also, Miss Jane, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, not long ago we buried Miss Jane. She passed away a few months ago. And I was honored. They called me to be a pallbearer for her funeral. I had never met her son, only the daughter. And I remember as we walked in, Jelaine and I, to the funeral home. I didn't know who he was. So, I mean, you know, I don't know who he is. So finally found out who he was, came up talking to him. And he said, we just knew we had to ask you. My mother spoke so highly of you. So highly. So highly. And I thought, Lord, thank you for the favor. Thank you. See, only some things that God can do that man can't do. And now we're asking God to move in other areas for our church. And He will. He will. He will. But they got to that city. And I'm sure even though God spoke to Joshua in verse 2 what to do. I mean, that it was his. The city was his. They would be destroyed. When they got to that city and they saw the wall, I know their faith was like a balloon with the air that was let out. Just. And I know sometimes that's with us too. When things rise up, our faith just, it's like it drains us. But you know what? The thing we have to do always is turn back to our God. Always. And He builds that faith back up into Him. And God spoke to Joshua and said, amen. I want you to walk around this city for the first 6 days or so. Don't say a word. And the last day, you shout. The praises, the trumpets, all that stuff. Now, I know we've heard this many a times. You might say, well, why didn't he want them to speak? Probably he didn't want unbelief to go forth. Probably some were praying. But can you imagine as they would walk around that city for those 6 days or so, not saying a word, as the people inside of Jericho would look over and they would laugh at the children of Israel? How many times have we been laughed at? How many times have you been laughed at as a Christian because of your stance for what is right? Just laughed at, criticized. Hey, they made fun of Jesus. They hated him, the religious people. And things happen in our lives. But they looked out upon over that wall as they would walk, and they would call them names, and they would say things, not realizing that God's plan always brings victory. And I know they thought, well, this is, oh, look, it must be Joshua that came up with this. Other people, how fun. Look at this. They walking around this city. Look. No one can penetrate this city. There are no weak areas. From the outside, underneath, on the top, on the, nothing is weak. We've made sure it is fortified that no one can penetrate it. It's so high that no one can crawl over it. It's so thick that no one can bust through it. I mean, there's no weak areas. And you see that Joshua knew the promises of God. And we need to realize that what God has promised unto us, it is ours. And God will give you a plan to get the job done. And God will show you how to do it. It may not make sense to this thing. It may not even make sense to our hearts. But when God says it, it always makes sense, and always victory will come about in our personal lives, in our churches, and in our families. When God speaks something, there's a reason for it. He just doesn't speak to speak. He speaks to tell us things, to encourage us, to help us. And they walked around that city. Now, I'm sure, you know, there's a few gabbers in that place that wanted to say a whole lot of stuff. And I'm sure Joshua probably had to go to a few of them and tell them, this is what God said. Let me tell you again, keep the trap closed. Just keep it closed. That's what God said to do. You see, obedience brings the blessings of God. Obedience brings victory. They started to walk around that city every day for those days, not saying a word. And I can imagine, you know, these people on the inside making fun of them. And as they would finish their round or so rounds, that as they would leave, they would laugh at them and say all kinds of things. But they didn't realize that every time they walked around it, that was another victory lap. Victory, number one. Victory, number two. Victory, number three. Victory, number four. Victory, number five. Victory, number six. And people, God will speak things to you by the Spirit of God to bring victory. As we keep our faith and trust in Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross, because it said it is finished. And when God says something, when the Godhead says something, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, when they said it was finished, it is finished. All demon powers have been defeated. When Moses threw down that stick as God told him to throw it down and it became a snake, showing that those things are demon, they're demon powers and evil spirits, that God had given Moses authority to conquer these things. We also need to remember that God has given us power and authority over all evil that's in this town and in this parish. That God has given us authority, not just some authority, but all authority to tear down principalities and powers so that people can see through their hearts that they need God, that they need Jesus, that they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. God has given us that power, and He's given us a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that who? That Jesus Christ is Lord. He's given us the name that we can pray in the name of Jesus, and the power of God moves upon a people, that we can pray in the name of Jesus and demons' power shake, tremble at the name of Jesus. My God! How much power God has given and trusted in us. Not power in our own selves. Not power in our own thinking. Not power in who we are. But the power of the Holy Spirit that is in the Godhead that lives in us. That we have the right and authority to use that name. That at the name of Jesus, all those evil spirits that have attacked you in your life and in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit has to go by the power and authority of the blood of Jesus Christ. That we have that authority in Him. That we don't have to live in whatever happens, happens. No. We don't live by circumstances and just what happens. We live by faith in the Son of God who has given us victory and power. Through the Son of Jesus Christ, through His blood, through His name, through His power, through His sacrifice. When He said it was finished, it's finished. It's been stamped closed. You might say, well, why are the demon powers still doing whatever? God is waiting for the church to take its rightful position and to take that authority and to take that power as we trust in Him. See, if we trust in ourselves, the devil will destroy us, people. But as we trust in God, that all things are possible. Those things that have held you in bondage, those things you've tried to overcome, put your faith in Christ and nothing else. Put your faith in Christ and nothing else. And I'm telling you, you're going to see those things are going to start to fall off. The shackles. Those shackles. You see, religion tries to break off shackles off of people's lives. They tell you how long to wear your hair, what to wear, how to whatever, all that stuff. Doesn't last. It won't work. It will not work. You can look perfect on the outside and have an evil heart. What does God want? God wants a not a good heart, a holy heart before Him, a heart that seeks Him. The heart that seeks Him with everything within us. And it says that last day, they started to walk around that city. People, Jericho didn't know what was going to happen. Honestly, the Israelites didn't know what was going to happen. All they knew was that they had victory. And as they were walking, all the other times they couldn't speak a word. It says that the Spirit of God told them, shout. As the trumpets blew, as they all the noise of praise and adoration unto God, as they shouted unto God, they didn't shout to Jericho. You need to get this. They didn't shout to the problem. See? This is the problem with people in their lives. When they're trying to overcome, they shout, they speak to the problem. You never speak to a problem. You speak to the Father. Don't speak to the problem. Because the problem will get bigger and bigger and bigger. Because you can't do anything about it. You speak to the Father about the problem. And let the Father handle the problem. And so when they started to shout, and praise God, they weren't shouting to Jericho. They weren't shouting to the walls. They weren't shouting to the people. They were shouting praise and adoration to the Father. They were shouting praise and adoration to the Son. They were shouting praise and adoration to who? The Holy Spirit. And when they did that, in obedience to the Father, as they were walking around, all of a sudden it says the walls just fell into the ground. And they rushed over. And the scripture, as far as I can see in reading it, no one died of the Israelites. Everyone that died and perished were the ones in the city, except Rahab, the harlot, that helped the spies and stuff. That's the kind of God we serve, people. We don't know how God will end up solving our crisis. But however He wants to do it, He knows what's best. And let me tell you, when they walked over, can you imagine? They just shouting praise and walking, and all of a sudden the walls where two chariots can, that's some big walls, huh? Thick and high, just all of a sudden, everybody in the city is just doing what they're doing. They're looking at them laughing. All of a sudden, their fortified city of their protection was their wall went down. And the Israelites' protection of their God tore it down. And none of them were hurt. None of them were killed. Nothing happened to them. But everything in the city was destroyed. And all the loot went to the house of God. My God. My God. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Look, even in your crisis, whatever God tells you to do, according to the Spirit of God, that's what you do. If it's according to the Word of God, let God be God in your situation. Let God be God in your situation. Let God be God in your situation. Let God be God. Let God be God. And let Him be glorified, praised, and honored. Let Him be glorified, praised, and honored in all situations. Let me tell you, that crisis, that big mountain that you're looking at, all of a sudden, however God wants to do it, we'll take care of it. Sometimes the only time we're humbled, and I say we, because myself too. The only time sometimes we're humbled is when a crisis comes up and we fall on our knees. Other times, the carpet never sees our knees. I'm not saying that's the only way to God, but that's the humility towards God. We need to let God be God in all situations. Let me tell you, He'll turn things around for you. He'll give you victory in every area, just as He gave victory. Victory. Victory to the Israelites. I want you to turn it. This is the last scripture. It's only 11:15. Don't look at your watch. Oh, thank you. I got one. It's only 11:05. I'm sorry. I thought it was 15, but it's 5. No, this is the last scripture. Truthfully, it's 11:31. Truthfully, it's 11:31. You're probably saying, Pastor, I'm hungry. Hurry up. Oh, Lord. But this is the last scripture. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Go to Him, people. It says, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything, guys. Don't worry. Don't worry. I know you probably seen Pastor, but I have a bill due next week or next month, whatever. If we do what God says, it says He would rebuke the devourer and God will supply. Don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, it says present your cares to God through prayer with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now, may I say, well, doesn't God know what I'm going through? Yes, He does. But He wants us to go to Him. So we can know when we go to Him that it's not in our own doings when God supplies and meets the needs. Verse 7, and this is good. As we go to Him and we give Him everything, This is something money can't buy. And the peace of God. Look, people, don't worry about money. Don't worry about money. I'll get even closer to you. Don't worry about your children. Maybe even a little closer, you might say, this is a lot to pray for. Don't worry about your spouse either. Miss Gail, don't worry. No, don't. It says, don't worry. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean you don't pray, though. But don't worry about them. Because, see, the worry will steal your peace. Oh, chef. The worry will steal your peace. The worry will steal your peace and will even steal your sleep. Huh? I know it. It'll steal it. If you have to stay up praying and honoring Him and saying, Lord, you know what it is. Get in your word and say, Father, read that scripture. And say, Father, I give it to you again. Lord, I give it to you again. And the Father is on the throne saying, I got it. He's excited. Can you imagine a God that is excited about taking our worries? A God that is excited about taking our crisis? My God, there's no other God like our God. There's no other God like your God. And says the peace of God will come upon us. It's like a little bird chirping away in the hollow of the tree during a storm. He doesn't realize that there's a storm. He's just praising his God through the crisis. Amen. You may stand, please. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. As every head is bowed, just for a minute, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you ever accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, or if you need to rededicate your heart and life back to Him, maybe crises and worries have just stolen your heart. Just look back to the Father. If you want to give Him your heart again, or you've never given your heart to the Lord, would you please raise your hand so we'll know. Amen. Just check it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you for a mighty move of the Spirit of God upon your people this day. That, Lord God, that a direction of our eyes are upon you and you alone, Lord. Father, Lord, I pray that financially you'd meet all the needs of the homes, Lord God. Bless these homes. Bless it spiritually, physically, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I pray, Lord God, for everyone at work this week that you would protect them and be with them and give them wisdom upon the job, Lord. Show them what to do and to be with them, Lord. Father, I thank you for your protection, Lord God, and I thank you for your people. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, if you would look this way, Jelaine and I, look, we want to tell you that we appreciate you guys. We thank God for you and love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you. And thank you for your attentiveness this morning. Amen. Thank you.